carry you to the next commercial break. Well, we don't have those, so you can just stay here and keep listening to all the interesting stuff that goes on here at CJSF. Thanks to you and support from listeners like you, we are able to continue as a volunteer-run campus community radio station where we let people make the radio they want to make and let them make the radio you want to hear. So, once again, thank you. Yesterday, May 5th, was the National Day of Awareness and Remembrance for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and Two-Spirit People, also known as Red Dress Day, coined by Métis artist Jamie Black. The ongoing crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and 2SLGBTQI plus people that we are facing is a direct result of colonization. In Canada, more than 6 in 10, 63% of Indigenous women have experienced physical or sexual assault in their lifetime. It is a true epidemic and something that needs to be addressed, and actions need to be taken both from a high level, multiple levels of government policy, but also on a sort of societal level in terms of how we think about women and queer people, how we think about Indigenous people, and how we think about violence, and particularly violence against women. So yesterday at in the sub, the student union building here at SFU, the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office and the SFU Women's Center put together a display that featured a number of different stations, a button-making station, an offering table where you could leave or take an offering, and a coloring table and a table to write out messages about Red Dress Day and what it meant to you. And obviously that is yesterday, but the whole point of Red Dress Day is to keep it in our thoughts and to continue to think about these issues and take action on these issues. So I'm going to play you an interview I did with Paola, who is with the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office and helped organize the event, just to give you a little bit of an idea of what the experience was and is about.
My name is Paola Quiroz Cruz, and I am one of the educators at the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office.
And what's happening today?
Today we are hosting awareness tables and memorials in the three different SFU campuses in Vancouver, Burnaby, and also Surrey. We wanted to make sure that non-Indigenous people have a space where they can come and honor missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and Two-Spirit folks, learn more about it, what actions they can take, to reflect also on their own commitment and how we can change this epidemic as well. And then to have a space to meet with other people and maybe do some coloring pages and some pins. Also bring offerings to the memorial table, or they can take one of the flowers that we have there and they can bring it back to the land or a park close to their home. Thinking about all those sisters and friends and grandmas and aunties and the daughter of someone and some other folks who are no longer here because of this colonial epidemic that is happening in Canada.
What went into the planning and the planning of this event?
It was very important first to consult with the staff from Indigenous Student Center, as we wanted to, of course, honor the Indigenous voices and how we could do this in a respectful way. So we connect with them, and then we basically propose what we had. I thought that having a memorial table is really important, just to pace yourself and stand in front of this table and reflect what is happening here, and also make the table interactive. So that's why we invite people to bring offerings like a leaf or a stone or anything that they wanted to bring to the table. But if they couldn't, then they will have the possibility to take something from the table and connect with the land, because we know that Indigenous folks are connected with the land, and then the land is also part of their lives. So as a way to kind of honoring both things. So yeah, that is, and then we were working, it was our office, the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, together with the Women's Center, that we kind of like put this together with the help of so many volunteers. GSWS grad students are working, some grad students are working with us today, as well as some of the outreach volunteers and some of the staff from the SVSPO. Mm-hmm.
And can you, are you able to explain the significance of the Red Dress?
Yeah, so then the Red Dress started as a campaign many years ago that was entitled the Red Dress Project. And it was launched in 2014 by Metis artist Jamie Black. And what this artist wanted to do was to honoring all these women who are no longer here with one red dress. So that is the symbolism of the red dress, the ones that are not here, but that again are present, and it should be in all our memories to remember that is not something that we need to forget. Yeah, so that is more or less what the campaign is about.
And what do you want people to take away from the campaign and the display today?
So just to reflect and learn more about the history of Canada, because there could be some students that maybe are just arriving, they don't know what happened before. So learn more about the history. They can hang a red dress in their window, or they can wear all this week red if they want. Also reading the final report from the National Inquiry of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls, and see how they can work in one of those actions, and also as individuals, an invitation to reflect what as change makers, because we are all change makers in this community, they can do in order to bring more awareness, or share this with family, or talk with their partner, with their friend, and support different Indigenous initiatives here on campus and also outside of campus, challenge lots of biases and stereotypes towards Indigenous people. So there are so many ways that folks can create action towards this. It could be something small, something big, but at the end of the day, if we are actioning something, then we're making a difference. Yeah. So I wanted also to mention that today here at the lobby at the SUP, there is the Lapu-Lapu altar in loving memory of all those folks who are no longer here. But then the students who organized that altar and that vigil last week mentioned that today they wanted to have the altar present in memory of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and Two-Spirit people.
Thank you to Paola for sitting down with me for that interview. As she mentioned, there's still an altar to the victims of the Lapu-Lapu Day tragedy up in the Student Union building on the main level right when you walk in. So you can go and spend some time there and leave something in memoriam, or just your thoughts there. Up next, we're going to continue with a little bit more coverage of the Red Dress Day memorial installation up at in the same place in the 3000 level of the Student Union building. I want to let you know before we move on that you can find more information about Red Dress Day at the Canadian Institutes of Health Research. If you search Red Dress Day, it's the second result. And there's a whole bunch of information. There's a whole bunch of links to the inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit folks called Calls for Justice. There's links to the exhibition that inspired and started Red Dress Day. And there are also phone numbers and links for support services available 24/7, 365 if you or someone you know is experiencing signs of distress. It's the Hope for Wellness Helpline, which is Indigenous-centered, at 1-855-242-3310, 1-855-242-3310. The Crisis Services Canada, Canada-wide hotline, that's 988, just 988. Or you can get in touch with the National Family and Survivors Circle at 1-844-413-6649. That's 1-844-413-6649. 413-6649. 413-6649. And now we're going to hear from Julia, who attended the event yesterday and gave her thoughts on the installation and on Red Dress Day itself.
Yeah, my name's Julia.
Julia. Why are you here today?
I am here because I think it's incredibly important on this day, but also all days, for us to remember and hold very close in our hearts the kin who we have in the larger human context of being related to one another, who have been stolen from us, whether that is being murdered or by being stolen and they are now what we would call missing. Indigenous women and girls and Two-Spirit folks, and recognizing that that is a really horrifying, tragic, and violent part of ongoing colonization in these lands.
What are your impressions or takeaways just from the display itself? What are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling... I came in feeling overwhelmed, so I'm feeling overwhelmed, but I'm also feeling really grateful to the folks who put it together and put it on as a place for us to hold those feelings of sadness and overwhelm together. And I'm feeling very grateful for the invitation that I was offered to take a rose and to bring the rose to the land, because it feels like an active thing that I can do and an opportunity to remember the women and the girls and the Two-Spirit people, and also hold beauty and remember that there is beauty in addition to all of the harm and the hurt and the sadness.
Yeah, it's important to bring yourself back up as well.
Yeah.
One of the activities at the station or the display is to write down just suggestions of actions you might like to see to address the murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls epidemic. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I haven't written one yet, so I'll have to think about it now. Yeah, I mean, it's really tough to think about what kinds of actions are helpful. I mean, I think because I feel like so often actions that we hear about or think about or talk about are just not enough, and I feel that. So yeah, I guess one of the things that I've been reflecting on recently is just like recognizing and naming that all the like really deeply insidious ways that violence is interconnected. Violence against so many folks, violence against women, and violence against the land. And so recognizing these intersections and these interconnections and naming them and calling them out and being really consistent about that, so that we are able to challenge the more like insidious forms of this kinds of toxicity and violence when it comes up, might be a way that we help to keep it from escalating into the really extreme forms of violence that also continue to happen.
I think, you know, when you talked about the being moved by the invitation to take a rose and return it to the land, I think that's a kind of like very personal and direct action that, you know, doesn't necessarily directly affect change, mm-hmm. but can, as you were saying, maybe like keep it in mind, but also give sort of like a hopeful mindset moving forward, mm-hmm. to not just focus on what has happened, but what could happen to change in that way.
And just to keep showing up for ourselves and showing up for each other and recognizing that like those ways that we are healing for each other if we can show up.
Thanks to Julia for that interview about the Red Dress Day installation and Red Dress Day itself here at SFU Burnaby. We're now going to hear my last interview, this one with interim out on campus coordinator Constantine, with their impressions of the day and the event.
My name is Konstantin Lazitsky. I am the interim out-on-campus coordinator, which is the LGBTQ resource on SFU Burnaby campus, but also services all of the folks that have any questions, needs, and supports that they would require about any LGBTQ resources, topics, concerns, ideas, that would be through Adam Campus.
Great. And why are you here today?
I'm here today to commemorate the Red Dress Day that the SISOFU SVSPO, which is the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, the Indigenous Student Center, and the FMMISA, First Nations Métis Indigenous Student Association, put on every year to make sure that everybody on all three campuses and in the larger community has a place to show up and to be connected to the larger movement to bring justice to all the folks, all the missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit people that have been taken away from all of us by the epidemic of violence that is so strategic in wiping out people that are the most important parts of the community, people that are here for each other, for the Indigenous communities, like lifeblood and livelihood. And therefore, I really appreciate the efforts that SFU SVSPO, SFU Indigenous Student Center, and SFU FNMISA put all of their efforts and go through so much emotional effort to make sure that this is available to everyone.
What does it mean to you to see the display and to see people engaging with it and interacting?
I think it's a very powerful symbol of the red dress because it is so striking and so visual, and then it reminds you just seeing one or two, and then you start seeing more and more of them around campus, seeing them on different campuses, seeing them in the community, just to give you a tangible way to realize the scope of what is happening and how it isn't just, oh, somebody else's cousin or sibling is lost or somebody else in the community that I'm not really connected to. All of those stories are real, but they may not connect to you in, on the same way as it is hundreds and thousands of people that should be here, that should be in community, that should be still doing everything they wish to do, but instead they're not here with us. And so I think it is a way to bring some sort of symbol of them back, to bring something that was taken away, that is no longer here, to bring the people who are important back into the communities where they matter. And so I think it is so important to see visible and proud declarations that this is a day to remember all of the folks that were taken and they're gone and that we're hoping will one day be returned to their communities.
One of the activities is to take a paper dress and write hopes or thoughts or sort of actions that can be taken to address the epidemic of violence against missing and murdered Indigenous women, mm-hmm. girls, and Two-Spirit people. Do you have any thoughts on what those actions might be, or sort of what you see in that regard?
Yes, I think it is always one of the things that comes up for supporters, for allies, for people that are not already physically involved, that are not emotionally involved in the like daily life of folks that are trying to care for people and for everyone else in the communities who are cared by the people that are gone or missing. And sometimes it feels a little awkward saying this as a settler trying to figure out where you fit in, but it is also important to be there and to be in community and to start more viscerally understanding what this means. What does Red Dress Day mean to people and why it is important, and what that grief and what that rage and what that injustice does, how it feels physically in your body, as well as what does the Indigenous community next to you, the Indigenous community of the places you go to school, where you work, where you're doing any recreational activities, what's the daily life like? What's the celebrations are like? Where can I be a respectful guest? Where can I be a person knowing what it is like to be within an indigenous community, to better understand it, and for this to not just be a number, and for not just be a one day where you see dresses or shirts or posters up. And so what are the tangible ways for allies, for folks that are settlers, for folks that have moved from one place to another, for folks that are indigenous in one area and one place in one community that are moving, for example, in Vancouver, which is pretty common, and how do we be respectful in a community? How do we be respectful guests for this land and for all the other communities of indigenous folks that are here? How do we be there every day, but also on Red Dress Day?
So related to that, I guess, why is it particularly important to have this display, A, like on campus, and B, in the Student Union building itself?
I think it is something that can be hard to grasp once again, of how this mountain itself is unceded territory. There recently has been a report published on How to Steal a Mountain by an indigenous scholar and a settler scholar, discovering of how did the University of Simon Fraser get this land? Who, quote-unquote, possesses this land? Who takes care of this land? Whose lands were nourishing people before SFU came here? Who is SFU and SFU properties and the Burnaby Mountain, quote-unquote, should belong to? Who are the people that have connections to this mountain that are not, oh, I go to school here, oh, I go to work here, and how this is still a place for indigenous communities still here, and also for all of the folks that are guests on this mountain. And so I think every place in Lower Mainland is a place where people should recognize that this is unceded land, that this is a land where indigenous folks were and where indigenous folks are still are. And this is still a place where injustices are happening just on the basis of theft, on the basis of devaluing indigenous sovereignty, devaluing indigenous expertise, devaluing indigenous life. And so, again, with this powerful image of a red dress, it is an image of all the people that should be here and all the people that we should always be thinking about and including in our thoughts and planning and ideas of what should be happening next, which are all the people within all of the indigenous communities within the Lower Mainland.
Is there anything else you think people should know about the memorial, about Red Dress Day, or in general?
I think I speak, again, as a settler, so most of the things that I see are educational and come think about what is possible to do, but then there's always support available to all the Indigenous students at SFU and at all the communities that are connected to SFU through Indigenous Student Center and through SFU of NMISA, First Nations, Métis, Indigenous Student Association. And I heard lovely and fantastic things about the staff and volunteers and the students that take care of each other and that create safer spaces for each other on campus, that know other places and communities in Vancouver and Lower Mainland, across BC. So if they're Indigenous folks that are struggling or that wish to have a community on this day or any other day, there's also folks that are working on this, that are creating those spaces, that are nurturing all of the little sparks of ideas and thoughts and care that Indigenous communities might need. And so I also want there to be thoughts and care to be extended to folks that are going through this and for whom it is so much more painful and difficult to go through. And so I hope that if folks are looking for resources to connect with their communities and connect with somebody who understands, they might find that through SFU Indigenous Student Center and SFU FNBISA.
Thanks again to Constantine for that interview about Red Dress Day, which was yesterday, May 5th. But as an idea continues all the time until the epidemic of violence against missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit people is ended. Thanks for spending time with me this hour. I really, really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to the things I want to share with you, to listen to me talk to you, to hang out and listen to a little bit of music, but also really dive deep into some big issues. So I really appreciate that. Thanks for listening to me. Thanks for listening to CJSF. And we're going to end it with a little bit of trans punk rock called Bela Lugosi Lives Again by Rougarou here on Speak Up. Democracy Now! Is up next. Thanks, as always, for being such a loyal listener. You're the best.
This is Min Chuong. I'm a volunteer here. Thank you for listening to CJSF. That's it. Thank you.